KNW, KN4VWA.
KN4VWA, W4DJW. I had to find me a transmit button, and I had to, anyway, machining parts away, getting a GoPro and a video transmitter and a video camera all on the Tiger Stick.
Wow, so you already had the stuff on order?
Well, when I got all that stuff for, I don't know where that's coming from. When I got all, I got crossband repeat running. That was 70 centimeters making that noise. When I got the video camera, remember I bumped it up from like a 200 milliwatt camera to an 800 milliwatt camera for the Team Black Sheep Disco, Go Discover. When I bumped that up, I ordered two at once instead of one, ordering one. And that was both the 1500 line TV transmitter, whereas the old ones were 600. Back when I was doing this before, they were only 600 lines. Now they're up to 1500 lines. So that's pretty cool. A lot clearer video. And I ordered two of them, two of each of the transmitters and the cameras. So I have everything I need.
Wow. Okay. So you're still working on the test bed with the stick. So once you get all that functional, then you figure out how to get it under the Telemaster.
W4DJW, then I start the finishing of the Telemaster. So when I got it from Glenn, N4AK, who's moved up to Sunny something, Sunnyside, Sunnydale, Sunset, that's the name of it, who's moved from Paris Mountain over to Sunset. He had the wing done. He hadn't started on the fuselage. So the wing is, it's the bones are built. There's no skin on the bones. It's just bones. I've got to build the fuselage, and then I got to cover everything, and I got to put all the gear on it. I've got a 90 size electric motor, and I've got some 6-cell batteries that will fit very, very nicely for it. And I've been needing something to use. I was going to use them on the Burt Rutan Quickie Canard, but they were too big, too heavy for it. So they'll be perfect for the Telemaster. But that's going to take a lot of building to get it up to where it needs to be. In the meantime, we've got more learning to do.
You got to work all the bugs out of the video and the other good stuff that you're putting on the platform. But you know what? I can't see that taking more than about a week.
You're right. I keep thinking in terms of when I was working. And when I was working, I got like a half a day on Saturday or something like that to build. I got every day to do this now. So, yeah, you're right. It should go in a day. In a day, you can do as much as a month of Sundays. Or in a week, you can do as much as a month of Sundays as for when you're working.
I'm going to say a word, Dave.
It's pretty cool. I'm still adapting to it. Anyway, I've got the video camera in my hand. I just machined the block. I've already machined them. So the GoPro is going to fit really nice under the landing gear. And I already checked it. If you turn it upside down, it writes itself. So you mount the camera upside down in its own box. You know, the way people mount GoPros all the time. I've got the one that's got the 1/4x20 threaded bolt hole that holds it onto the landing gear. So you just take the landing gear off. I've already drilled a hole in it. You bolt on the mounting gear plate upside down on the landing gear. Then you bolt the landing gear plate back on the airplane. And then you slide the GoPro in there, and it clips into place. And then you set the angle so it's looking down at the earth a little bit. You'll get the tip of the prop, right, looking down out the front and looking down. You'll see the tip of the prop up at the top of the screen, but that's okay. I said plenty of them have that in it. And then the video camera for the heads-up display and all that stuff and the goggles tracking will be just down and to the left of the GoPro. And it'll be looking down. And that way, if we get ourselves into trouble, we don't have any telemetry coming back, you can always look in the goggles or you can look at the monitor and you can fly yourself home. It's just like a backup. That's another reason that it's in there. It's going to be on every one of these so that if any one of them gets in trouble, you can at least see what it sees and you can fly. You can go around in a circle till you find a landmark and then go to that landmark and go around in a circle till you find and eventually find your way home.
Sounds like a winner. Hey, now, do you have
Yeah, that's part of the telemetry that you can, the on-screen display that I'm using, it's called an OSD Minim. That's one of its widgets, and it takes the telemetry that's coming back, and the telemetry has a compass component, and it uses that compass component to do, like, compasses in your car, like, and some of our ham radio gear, my ham radio gear that does APERS, you, as you're going through the various screens, one of them is a compass, and you can see it rotating around. When you go north, the N comes up. As you start rotating to the east comes around, and the north goes away. Same kind of rotating dial kind of a thing on your heads-up display.
If you're going around in a circle around a fixed object, and you're trying to figure out which way to go to head back, and you know which, if you know where that fixed point is, but you need to take a heading off of it without some sort of heading indicator, you're stuck.
There's that. You're right. So you're thinking the same way everybody who designed all this equipment years ago was thinking. They went a step further, and they put a little house on the screen that says home, and then there's an arrow that's either right above it or right over to the left of it. And when you're headed away from home, right, home point is where you took off from, when you're heading away from that, the arrow is pointed in the opposite direction of the little house, right? So you're going away from home. And then all you do is spin around until your arrow is pointed at home, and then you go full throttle and head on, you know, head in that direction. Point the arrow at the house and go home.
Fixed waypoint heading, labeled home. Yep. The military uses that very same type of thing all the time.
Wouldn't surprise me if it was an ex-military person that, that added that, because they've got hundreds and hundreds of developers that work on this stuff. It's a whole lot better than any single company can do by themselves.
Costco, and oh man, it cost me. I go about once every 6 months, and since meat is going out the roof on price, I decided to go ahead and stock up for 6 or 7 months, and it cost me $532.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about that for the next 6 months, right? I don't ever buy that far ahead. Amy says we need to get a freezer. I hesitate to do that. I don't know, because I remember when my parents had one, stuff used to stay in there so long, it would get so old, eventually they wind up throwing it away.
When's the cookout, KZ for him?
Son. Matter of fact, Mike just started on something like that. Tomorrow night. What's up, Tom?
Gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you? I haven't heard you on here in a while.
Occasionally. I don't get on from the station anymore. Only when I'm in the vehicle.
About just tootling around up here today?
On LBO's brother-in-law's four-wheeler, and I needed a tool, one that I had many of, but they seemed to keep growing legs and walking away. So I had to run and get one, and I went, you know what, I'm out, I'm off the hill, I'm going to go take LBO to lunch. So I did, and I just picking up some odds and ends, and now I'm crossing back over 85 on 385. I was just nice enough to go pick her up and take her to lunch.
Well, you tell her we said hello when whenever that time comes around. Oh, hey, Dave. My boss is going to go babysit a grandbaby this evening. And she's going to be leaving about 5 o'clock. And I'm probably going to head back to the field and fly the Cessna.
Well, I'm making good progress machining parts. I'm gonna finish machining all of these parts, and I'm gonna get them all put on the airplane, and then I'm gonna start wiring. I don't think that's gonna leave time for flying. I'd rather just knock this out and not have to think about it again. Knock it all out at once.
And I'll tell you something else. They moved the rain. Your problem, more than likely definitely going to be at soccer tomorrow. They've moved the rain down to 10 o'clock, and there's only a 51% chance of that at 10, and then it tapers off. There's not going to be rainy rain tomorrow evening.
Well, I might not go to soccer tomorrow. Amy came back from that trip to Washington. She was in close quarters with a whole bunch of people on the company jet, and she wasn't feeling good at all yesterday, and she wasn't feeling good when she left to go to work today either, and she's going to let Megan know that she doesn't want to give her or Cole, Megan or Brianna any COVID. So I may not be going. I don't know. We're going to see.
Okay. Well, hopefully she's okay. There are some other things floating around about out there right now. Yeah. So, anyhow, hopefully she'll be fine. Now, she was... Right?
You dropped out there at the end.
Okay. But she's been vaccinated, right?
She's what?
Has had the vaccine, correct?
Yeah, that's right. She's had both of her shots. She hadn't had the booster. I told her we need to start looking at what we need to do to take the booster. But so she and I told her, you know, since you've been vaccinated, it's highly likely that if you did get it, you're going to feel bad, but it's not going to like kill you or anything. But she didn't want to go get tested because she doesn't want anybody sticking anything up her nose.
That I'm with her. I agree 100%. I do not need my brain tickled from the bottom up. Oh, that is so miserable the way they do that. But in the meantime, I got my second shot on Monday, and all I had was a little bit of a sore arm. It didn't even slow me down. And Sue got hers on Monday, and she came home from work on Tuesday at about 2 o'clock. I tell you what, she was feeling really miserable, but she made it back to work on Wednesday morning.
Well, that's good. So it wasn't near as bad as the second shot was on that she had. Amy's first shot, she was miserable, but not too bad. The second shot, she was bad for 2 days. Then after that, she's okay. So, but me, I didn't feel the effects of the shot. I was thinking they just shot water at me or something like that. Somebody else got that dose.
I got the placebo. No, but I will say this. Sue came home and says, now you do know that the harder it hits you, they say the more effective it is.
If it doesn't hit you very hard, then it's not very effective?
That's not quite correct. Maybe Tom knows. Tom, what have you heard about that?
Heard what I've read. There's no correlation. This will be N4BXB is Herb up in Shelby. I just have to comment that that information about if the shot hurts, you're better protected or however you want to put it. You must have heard that or somebody heard that on the internet. And if you heard it on the internet, you know it's got to be true. That just threw that in there. N4BXB.
Well, that's not quite what was said, and I think my wife got it from the CDC site, but anyhow, it is the more that the shot affects you, the greater the efficacy. So, we don't know for sure, but, you know, it's the more it affects you, the greater its strength or something or other.
That's what I was trying to say, but I changed the wording a little bit. But anyway, thank you for getting the shots. I wish everybody would.
Had to get talked into it. In the meantime, I am probably going to go over and try to look at that CDC site and see if there is, like you said, Tom, any correlation between the strength of the shot, or rather not the strength of the shot, but the efficacy versus the effect.
I've read different things to the same, but there's no definitive proof out there. It's just basically a theory.
Well, in the meantime, hopefully everything is going to be okay. Oh, and Dave, how is Johnny?
Last time I pinged him, he was miserable, but he was okay. I mean, he's making it. So I haven't pinged him in a while. It's time I ping him again and see how he's doing. But last time I talked to him, he's still alive.
Good. Well, I mean, he is a moderately, middle-aged male in good health, so it shouldn't bother him too bad. But did you guys hear about the chiropractor over in Spartanburg?
I didn't. And I'm going to go in the other room. I'm going to listen, but I've got two more parts to cut out. So I'm going to keep moving. You go ahead, and I'll be listening. W4DJW.
Well, the chiropractor's name is Hanush, and he's a chiropractor that's been over in Spartanburg for probably 30, 40 years, and he started feeling poorly on Wednesday. On Monday, and on Thursday, they took him to the morgue.
Was that COVID? I mean, that doesn't even sound like he had time to go on a ventilator.
Went down that fast. He made it, well, basically he started feeling bad on a Monday, and he went into the hospital on Tuesday morning, and early in the morning on Thursday, they wheeled him down to the morgue. I mean, he didn't make it just a little over 48 hours, and I mean, it just took him and... It just took it, period.
Well, I can believe that, because I don't know if you've had any need to go to the hospital lately, but I took Amy on Monday because she was feeling really, really bad, thinking she had something, but I think it turned out to be chili from Wendy's, but I'm not sure. But anyway, I took her there, and we stayed for 2 hours. They made me stay out in the parking lot, and they didn't even look at her the whole 2 hours, and she couldn't sit up any longer. She had to go lay down. And they were rude. They were hateful. It's the hospital, the Greer emergency room, unless you come in on an ambulance, is useless. So if he took himself there, I can see that happening. No problem, because they don't even look at you. They don't even pay attention to you. They just tell you to shut up and sit in the corner. They're hateful.
Yeah, we got the same situation here in Shelby. You go to the emergency room, you're going to spend the day there. Part of the day just waiting. And then when you get checked, if you don't get checked in, they'll put your bed out in the hall somewhere. There is no room left.
Right. So I can see somebody dying of COVID out in the, you know, in 3 days and getting no attention whatsoever, just sitting out there. I can see them, you know, and then turning around and going home and dying. I can see that too.
Spartanburg Regional, and they admitted him straight away, and I think from what I understand, I believe he was put on a ventilator within 12 hours of his being admitted, and hey, 36 hours later he was gone. So anyhow, that's how fast it can react for some people. That's just a shame. But you want to know the clincher on that?
What's that?
He had had the vaccine.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess that's the, you know, there's an exception to every rule. I guess that's the exception. I guess they do happen. But for the most part, that's an exception. Anyway, I'm going to go back to cutting out parts. Losing daylight. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear.
All right, Dave, if you're going to use that type of colloquialism, it's we're burning daylight. Let's get it right there, cowboy. 73's, bud, and I'll think about you over at the field today. I won't fly the Bloody Wonder, but I'll fly the Cessna, and I will stop. talk to you soon. KN4BWA, I'm clear, y'all. Carry on, Tom. Try to behave yourself out there. KZ4M, have fun, Bubba.
73, y'all. I'm getting ready to climb up the interstate into Great Court. KZ4M Mobile.